What a night it was last night, guys. I was sitting there watching Sky Sports News as the transfer deadline window was closing towards 11 o'clock. And we had some shock moves, didn't we? We had some pretty shock moves. Chelsea get their man a new British transfer record of 100 and something, like 105 million or something ridiculous for Enzo Fernandez. Or is it ridiculous? Because this kid has got some serious talent, obviously, on the back of a very, very good World Cup. I'm pretty sure his performances at the World Cup would have actually cost Chelsea probably 20 or 30 million more than they were looking to pay, potentially. But he's in the door at Chelsea, interested to see what price he gets in FPL and whether he's an asset for us from the off. I think it's a watch and wait and see whether he can get the best out of some of the other FPL assets that are potentially in that team. I do like the look of Mudryk, though, and I know that he's in the game already. A nice price. He's like at 7 or something, isn't he? So he's a really nicely priced FPL asset potentially. And when he came on against Liverpool, looked lightning quick. And I actually did read somewhere that he has clocked up. One of the sprints he did against Liverpool was the fastest in the league that we've seen so far this season. So, like, only played 20 minutes or so and is already officially the quickest player in the league. So, listen, if nothing else, he's going to have frightening pace that's going to scare the life out of defenders. So he's looking like definitely on the FPL radar, particularly with Chelsea's fixtures coming up. Looking pretty good, actually. Looking pretty good. So, yeah, got my eye on him probably a bit more so than Enzo Fernandez. Going to give Fernandez a bit of time to sort of get into that team. But nevertheless, Potter's going to be, if he's not already, you know, under a lot of pressure to get the most out of these players, isn't it? Suddenly, Chelsea have gone absolutely crazy in the transfer window, spending tons of money, absolutely tons of money. I've seen all sorts of stats around, you know, they spent more this window than, you know, the whole of the Premier League did last summer and stuff like, you know, that more than Brentford have spent since 1960 or something. It's just some ridiculous stats floating about. But they have spent some money now, and they've put some of these guys on long-term contracts. Mudryk is on an 8-year contract. I think Enzo Fernandez, 8-year contract. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they are amortizing, or they are accounting for these assets that they are purchasing, these players that they are purchasing, over a longer period of time than usual. Now, I did also read that UEFA are clamping down on this. I think in the summer, 5 years is going to be the longest horizon that you can amortize over. But for now, those rules are looser than they're going to be in next summer. So Chelsea are taking full advantage of that and offering these young players big long-term contracts. So a lot of pressure for Potter, a lot of pressure for these young players to make it at Chelsea and be good transfers. Because, you know, all of a sudden, say a couple of years in and it's not working out, who's going to buy them? Who's going to buy them out of that, you know, 6 years or whatever's left on their contract? It's going to cost whoever wants to buy them a ton of money. And if they're not performing, then they won't be able to, you know, command the sort of fees that they're commanding now. But anyway, nevertheless, don't want to dampen any spirits for Chelsea fans. For any of you that are listening at Chelsea fans, you've got a really top player in Enzo Fernandez and Mudryk. And it's been a decent window for you. I have to say, letting Jorginho go the other way, he's not gone to Benfica, has he, in the way that Enzo Fernandez has come from. But he has gone to Arsenal. So Jorginho has gone to Arsenal. Astute piece of business, in my opinion, from an Arsenal perspective. Now, obviously, it's an FPL podcast. So I'm not suggesting for a minute that we go and get him an FPL. But for 12 million quid, I think Arteta's picked up a very intelligent winner. You know, he's got that mentality, isn't he? They bought in Gabriel Jesus, they bought in Zinchenko for that sort of reason, to have those sorts of characters, that winning mentality in the dressing room. And I think Jorginho will bring a bit of that. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if Jorginho is a bit of a coach in the making for the future as well. I think on the pitch he's going to be reasonable cover for Thomas Partey and maybe for Granit Xhaka. Those guys, I think, are going to remain first choice. Certainly, it ain't broke, so why fix it from an Arteta perspective? So reasonable cover at 12 million. And he's a sort of player that needs a lot of legs around him, doesn't he? But he's got that, I think, from an Arsenal perspective, should he get some minutes in that team. But I think it's what he brings to the dressing room and the sort of the unseen stuff. We as FPL managers, we pore over the stats and the assists and the goals and the touches and the passes and everything else. Well, I think that transfer from an Arsenal perspective is probably less about that, more about the character that Arteta's bringing into the club. You know, shortlisted for Ballon d'Or, You know, World Cup winner. You know, so much going for him. So much going for him. So I think that's an astute piece of business by Arsenal to bring in Jorginho. I really do. Elsewhere, what happened? João Cancelo got his move to Bayern Munich on loan, which it just still blows my mind that he's gone. I think genuinely he's one of the best left backs, I was going to say, in the league. Well, he's probably one of the best left backs in the world, in my opinion, João Cancelo. Not saying that Rico Lewis or anybody else that comes in on the left-hand side, maybe it's Nathan Ake, those can all do a good job. Don't get me wrong, they'll do a good job. But João Cancelo, definitely up there in the elite left-back pool of talent, in my opinion, in the world. So for Pep to let him go is kind of an unusual one. And I wonder whether that might just, they might just live to regret that a little bit as the season goes on. But there was definitely something, as I said on the last podcast, definitely something before that Arsenal game where João Cancelo didn't, I don't think, like being dropped, played a lot of minutes up to that game. You know, the big game against Arsenal turns up. I think, what's it, game week 15, 16, something like that? He's dropped. Maybe he didn't react that well to it. Maybe he's had a falling out with Pep. I don't know, but don't like the sound of it. And of course, he's, you know, now he's off to Bayern Munich. So we're not going to have that high upside £7 million FPL asset in our teams anymore. And if you've got him, I think you're about to have probably a couple more million in your bank that you weren't expecting. Because I'm looking at where you go to, and I don't think you're going to go for Trent or Robbo right now, up in that sort of high 6.5 to 7 bracket and spend that money. You're probably going to come down to somebody else, maybe to a, you know, a Botman or an Estupinan or an Arsenal defender if you haven't got one, right? So I'm not really thinking that you're going to stay invested that heavily at the back with your premium defender. So, yep, if you're a Cancelo owner, obviously he's a sell now. You're going to have a bit of money in the bank. Elsewhere, one to keep an eye on. Looking forward to seeing what Pedro Porro does at Spurs and what his FPL price is going to be. Don't know that much about him, but I do know that at Sporting Lisbon, he was given pretty much free rein to go and attack in that wing-back position as much as he wanted. And certainly the Sporting Lisbon style suited that. I think Conte's Tottenham suits that as well. So with him on the right-hand side now, with Doherty going to Atletico Madrid, that was a weird one, wasn't it? It was going to go on loan, but then somebody at Spurs messed up and realised they'd already reached their maximum amount of loans they could have. So basically just binned his contract and let him go to Atletico. That was a weird one. But with Doherty out the door and only really Emerson Royale now in that right-back position, you've got to think that Pedro Porro is going to be first choice. I think almost certainly walks into that Conte team, in my opinion. And you'd expect him to be given the license, the free license to go forward, as he has had in other places such as Sporting Lisbon. So keen to see his price. If he's coming in at somewhere around the 5.5 mark, maybe even 6, might just have a look at him. The Spurs not defensively that great. I mean, I try to put my finger on, I was discussing this with Sam the other day, what's gone wrong for Spurs defensively? And we kind of danced around it a little bit. But in the end, we both suggested that Hugo Lloris is having a difficult season, isn't he? He's having a bit of a difficult season, Hugo Lloris. And the three in front of him are doing okay. But with Lloris behind, they're conceding too many goals. I'm not sure whether Pedro Porro, therefore, is going to come in and get you tons of clean sheets, but probably going to have some attacking output because that's what he's brought in to do. Marcel Sabitzer comes in from Munich to Manchester United. Some people saying that's a panic buy. I don't think it is. They were interested in him in the summer, weren't they? And they didn't go for him in the end. But with Christian Eriksen getting injured by Andy Carroll in that FA Cup game not so long ago, and unbelievable that Carroll was allowed to get away with some of those tackles in that game for as long as he did. It was reckless, to be honest, not good at all. And Christian Eriksen now out until sort of April, May. They've got to go and fill that gap, and Marcel Sabitzer will do a pretty good job of that, in my opinion. He'll do a pretty good job. Elsewhere, what else happened of Jonjo Shelvey going from Newcastle to Forest? So he's going to try and keep them up. We had Albert Sambilakonga go to Crystal Palace, I think, on loan from Arsenal. That's about the long and short of it, isn't it? Those are the main ones. From an FPL perspective, definitely got my eye, obviously, on the new Chelsea boys, on Mudryk in particular. But it's Pedro Porro. If his price comes in somewhere in the sort of 5.5 bracket, particularly if you've got João Cancelo and looking for a route out, might be too early to go on Porro, but I think he's going to add an extra attacking dimension down that right-hand side for Antonio Conte in a way that Doherty and Royale were kind of struggling to do up to now. So I've got my eyes on him. That's it. Let me know on Twitter. Let me know on Slack if you're a Patreon supporter. Which incomings and outgoings piqued your interest from an FPL perspective. And I'll see you next time on the next pod. Cheers.